AI is everywhere, and it's not just writing grocery lists or your kid's English essay anymore, right? It is sliding into the therapist's chair. So whether you've toyed with ChatGPT as your late night sounding board or downloaded an AI mental health app, it's really tempting to think, well, maybe I don't need to pay someone $200 an hour anymore when I've got free therapy in my pocket. But is that really therapy, or is it just tech playing dress up? Today, we're diving into whether AI can actually replace a human therapist, what's helpful about it, what's missing, and why your blind spots might be the biggest deal of all. So stay tuned. Welcome to the Relationships Made Easy podcast, where I give you the exact steps to create connection, joy, and ease in all your relationships, whether it's with your partner, your family, your friends, or most importantly, yourself. I'm Dr. Abby Metcalf, psychologist, best-selling author, TEDx speaker, and the bossy Jewish mom you didn't know you needed. Each week, you'll get no-nonsense, research-backed strategies served with humor and love, so you can stop second-guessing yourself and start having the relationships you deserve. You'll always leave knowing exactly what to say and do to shift your relationships for the better. So let's get to it. Welcome back to the podcast. And of course, how could I not do this topic? I have a lot of clients who are talking to me about AI and should I use it? Should I not? I love AI. I use AI. I'm a big user of it. So I felt like I would be a really good person to talk about it. And so I went and did some research for this one, as always. And I really thought a lot about it because I've been thinking a lot about it anyway with my clients and talking to them about how to use it best and how not. So are you in the right place today? Today, here's what you're going to learn. There are pros, positives of using AI for mental health support. It's really not all bad. Why human connection is biologically essential to healing. We'll talk about that. The psychological risks of relying on AI alone. How therapy helps you uncover what you don't know you don't know. You know how I say a lot, you're a fish who doesn't know it's wet. So we'll talk about that. And really my honest take as a psychologist who talks to an AI assistant, I use it. And today I have a great download. Is it AI advice or real therapy? I put together 10 questions to ask before you ditch your therapist. So you can download that. We'll talk about that below the video if you're watching on YouTube and or come over to the website. AbbyMetcalf.com, and you can download it there when you find this episode. So let's talk about the pros of using AI for mental health, because again, there's pros or positives of it. I thought let's start with the good stuff, and I really want to give credit where it's due. AI support tools, I think, have real upsides, okay? And I'd say there's three or four that I would point out as the biggest upsides to me, and you might have different thoughts. You can link those. You can comment below the video or something if you do. But number one definitely is accessibility. AI is available 24/7. There's no wait. I got a wait list. If you want to see me, you got to sit on a wait list, right? You have to pay money. AI doesn't charge you by the hour. If you have limited resources, then, maybe no health insurance or no reimbursement for therapy, or you could live in an area without access to mental health professionals, right? Or to good ones. And if that's the case, this can really be a lifeline for you. So, and it's the whole reason I started this podcast was this idea that there's a lot of people who don't have access to really good research, et cetera. So yes, AI can be wrong. We'll talk about it, all the cons of it. But to me, if you're educated about it, it really can, again, be a lifeline. The second big pro about it to me is anonymity and safety. So because some people are definitely more comfortable sharing vulnerable thoughts with a non-human. They just are. AI's not going to judge you. It's not going to interrupt. It's not going to gasp or give you a funny look when you say you're you know, still texting your ex or something like that. It's, you know, finding a good therapist, I talk about a lot, is a lot like dating. It's, and I have other episodes on that, on how to find the right therapist and what questions to ask and things like that. But it, it's a relationship. There's a lot of bad therapists out there, just like there's a lot of bad everything out there, right? You can't name a profession where there's not a lot of people who do it poorly. Okay. There just are. And so, while I love my profession so much, I will say that there's a lot of people who don't use evidence-based approaches, which always worries me. There's a lot of people who obviously have a lot of their own issues. Most of us get into therapy because of our own issues or our own family stuff. Otherwise, you know, why the hell else do you want to do this job? Let's get really real here for a second. And unless you've had your own therapy and done your own work and keep doing that work, by the way, then, you know, in understanding your own blind spots, I've shared before, I definitely have some blind spots in, you know, in people I don't work as well with. And I try to stay very aware of that. I have my use supervision. I talk to people. I have a consultancy group. I have different therapists and people I respect that I talk to about the problems I have or challenges I'm facing. All of those things are really important. So, I'm still not perfect. I'm still not going to always do it right, you know? So, and neither is AI, but you get the idea. So, and I will tell you, you know, I was already doing remote therapy quite a bit before the pandemic. So before the pandemic, I was one of those people that was already on Zoom. Thank gosh, you know, using it, it really helped me kind of be ahead of the curve there, because I have a lot of clients who are out of the country, out of the state that I live in. So I was already doing that. I was already using, utilizing that. And finding that really building therapeutic alliance without being in the physical room with someone. So, you know, using a lot of different tools. And if you're a therapist and want to learn more about that, I'm happy to talk about that. Let me know. But so, and I will tell you that, yeah, some people do not do as well remotely. You know, they really need to be physically in a room with a human. But others, I have found there's people who are accessing therapy who never accessed it before because they couldn't find the time. You know, now there's more flexibility. You see people during your workday. You do a little therapy and you stop. Now there's, again, access to maybe someone like me. You know, I have clients in Canada and France and New York and Florida and, you know, everywhere. So you have different access to people you didn't have access to before. I even have people that do better on the phone. I have one client in particular I'm thinking of who has really pretty severe ADHD, and she needs to be moving and running around when we're doing therapy. That's how she can get deeper. But it's really disconcerting when we were trying to use, Zoom wasn't really what, you know, she's carrying around her phone and it's jogging. It was like so disconcerting. I was like, I can't talk to you like this. So I said, you know, let's just do it like old school phone call. You don't have to stare at me. Let's see how that works. Works amazing for her. She's able to sort of doodle and do things and get up and down and move around. I'm not distracted. You know, I can stay really focused with her, and we do very deep, excellent work. I have another man I'm thinking of who has a lot of stuff he's talking about that's really shame-based for him. Sexual abuse when he was young, things like that. And he has shared, he goes, you know, if we weren't doing this on the phone like we are, I don't know if I could do it like and be in the room looking at you. He said that in the beginning. He does say now he feels like he could, but in the beginning, he wasn't sure if he ever would have shared it if he was in the room looking, you know. So again, there's a lot of ways you can access help, and there isn't one perfect one way for everybody. So I want to put that out there, and AI to me falls into that landscape. The third thing I think that's a big pro for it, a big positive is, and it's, I guess it's I'm repeating a little bit, but I'll say it anyway. It's really consistency and convenience, right? You don't have to explain your situation from scratch each time. If you know, when you go to different therapists or try different people, you have to sort of, you know, tell the story again. That's why a lot of people don't go back to another therapist. With the AI, you know, you tell it once and you're, you know, it'll remember, especially if you're paying for AI, right? And it's building its own memory of you. And it can offer structure, right? Journaling prompts, cognitive reframing techniques, breathing exercises, you know, on demand, right then, in the moment, you can get that kind of voice or that feedback. And then the last place I have seen it be really beneficial is, I guess I'll call it like early intervention. I think that AI can really be a stepping stone for people who aren't ready for therapy yet, because I have definitely had people come to me who had never been to therapists, but started using AI and realized its limitations and realized that, therapy could be good, the right kind of therapy for them, you know, because it can really get you thinking and reflecting. It can really eventually maybe guide you to seek some human help. So I think for all of those reasons, I'm sure there's more positives, but those are the top, what did I give you? 3, 4, whatever I just gave you, that I see mostly in the work that I do. Okay. So, and you know what? And so the giveaway today, by the way, so you can come and download it again, anywhere that you get the podcast, you can download. I'm calling it like 10 questions to ask before you ditch your therapist. Okay. So that's the giveaway today. You can download that for free. I'm always transparent that will put you on my email list, which is, I call it the love letter list. You will get an email twice a month from me. I'm being very transparent. I don't sell anything on this list. I'm not trying to get you to do anything. There's no trick. It is simply a letter. I call it a love letter because it's that. It's only that. I love you. I want to help you think differently, you know, maybe have a different perspective, a new tool to use. That's all it is. A little story to hopefully motivate you or inspire you. That's all it is. And it takes you maybe 5 minutes to read. If you like it, great. If you don't, just unsubscribe. There's thousands of people on there. I won't notice, I promise. But you can also get that. Okay. So maybe download that if this is all sounding like something you like that's really hitting you about this. And if you're part of my One Love Collective, which is my online community now on Substack, I have tons of other giveaways, things that you're getting included in your membership, along with live Q&As with me. Who doesn't want those? But you can, if you're interested in knowing what that is, you can listen at the end. And if you don't want to join the collective and you want to just, you can buy, I call it a therapy to go bundle. You can buy just the bundle and not join. So I'll list all that at the end. So now I want to talk about I don't want to call them the negatives, but the downsides. There's a biological cost of skipping human contact, okay? The hard truth is that we are wired to connect. And I'm going to talk about the biology of that, and I'll list to all the resources I use and the research I looked at. Face-to-face interaction activates neural circuits that I have to tell you that AI cannot reach. And it's not just face-to-face, it's also voice-to-voice. So you would do better if you had a voice-activated AI, for sure, but face-to-face. Eye contact, voice tone, facial expressions, these aren't just like, those are nice to have. They regulate your nervous system. Okay. They regulate your nervous system. They lower cortisol. They increase, which is one of the stress inducing hormones. They increase oxytocin, one of your bonding hormones, and really support emotional, what we call co-regulation. All right. You co-regulate, you know, if you're holding an infant, I've talked about co-regulation quite a bit. You know, if you're holding an infant who's crying maybe and you're soothing it and you're looking at, you know, you're staring the little baby in the eye and you're like, it's okay. Using a soft voice, maybe, you know, making that eye contact, making, you know, really relaxing your body with them. it that they start to co-regulate with you. And that's a very, very big thing that we learn right away coming out of the womb. We actually co-regulate in the womb. How do you like that? So when you engage with a real person in therapy, and again, we've looked at a lot of this remote therapy too, especially someone trained to create a safe emotional container, such as me, your brain literally changes. I'm going to say that again. Your brain literally changes. You experience what researchers call limbic resonance, okay? And limbic resonance is basically it's that co-regulation. It's a mutual exchange, for lack of a better term, that calms you and it attunes your emotional state, okay? With AI, you know, you're not getting eye contact, vocal resonance, or subtle emotional mirroring. We call it mirroring, right? Those are the magic, it's the secret sauce, the magic ingredients that activate your mirror neuron system and help regulate your nervous system in real time. When there's no right brain to right brain attunement, there's a problem, right? Right brain to right brain attunement is how we co-regulate. Excuse me. It's how we develop emotional insight. It's how we build trust in relationships. So you're getting words, not warmth. You're not getting that same level. And while those words could be helpful, for sure, they're missing the embodied cues your brain uses to feel safe, to feel seen, to feel soothed. Okay. So let's talk about what AI can't do yet. There's some therapy gaps. Okay. It can't. So the first thing is it can't read the room, right? A skilled therapist is going to pick up on shifts in tone, in body language, again, even remotely, even on Zoom. Long pauses, those are big. Or, you know, your tell, you know, everyone has a tell, right? If you're playing poker, you know what a tell is. It's sort of how you know someone is bluffing or cheating or lying or something. A lot of people have like what we call a tell in English. I'm sure that's in other languages too, but maybe you say I'm fine, but your fists are clenched and I'm picking up on that. I can tell a lot, even again, remotely with my clients. I've been doing this a long time too, but I'll watch you lean back in your chair. I'll watch you lean forward. I'll watch you, suddenly go to grab something or leave, or I got to get something to drink or watching you drink. AI gets none of this. I said to a client today, we were talking and she got really quiet. And I said, you just got really quiet. You just got really quiet. What's going on inside? And see how even now I changed my delivery, right? Right? Hear it? You got really quiet. Hey, tell me what you're thinking right now. I do it a lot. I watch my clients a lot. I'm looking for those cues, and that's where therapy happens, not just reporting something, not just a conversation. AI can't do that at this point, or at least not meaningfully, okay? It's missing all those pieces, which are so much a part. I'm trained in something called structural family therapy, which was created by a genius, the father of family therapy, Salvador Mnuchin, who I also studied with when I lived in New York City. And brilliant, to me, brilliant, just brilliant. And it is so much the base of structural family therapy when we're looking at all those kinds of things. We're really reading the room. We are really reading the person consistently. And we're reading ourselves consistently because someone might tell me something and I might lean back, right? Maybe I lean back. Maybe I'm hearing something that is hard for me to hear, that maybe, you know, I've had people tell me they raped someone. I've had people tell me they've killed someone. I've had people tell me, you know, that they did something to their kids. I mean, I've heard some things, right? Many, many, many things. I've had people get very aggressive. I've had all kinds of stuff. So I, of course, am always watching my body language, but that's part of the therapy. And sometimes I've had to say something, or sometimes my client has, like, oh, I can tell you're disgusted with me. you know, oh, I can see it in your eyes or something. And boy, we have, those are the most rich conversations after that. So rich. Like, wow, what did you see? Talk to me. Maybe I did do something, but maybe I didn't. And so what is, and what does it mean if I did? Can you trust me still? Can we rebuild that? Can we not? What if I didn't do it, but you thought I did? You know, there's so much there. It's amazing. And that, again, is so rich for therapy. Let me take a sip. Sorry. Am I avoiding? I just sipped. I just drank something. Am I avoiding? No, I was kidding. Okay. If you're anything like me, you're bad at asking for help, like weirdly bad at it. I've been a busy gal for a long time now. Kids, partner, my own business, all the things that make for a full life these days. And my instinct always was to just white knuckle it and do it all myself. But I say it on this show all the time. Ask for help. You don't have to do it all. And meanwhile, there I was doing it all. And I finally changed all that, from my podcast editor to the person who got 10 years of photos off my phone and into albums I actually look at. I found amazing people to help me on Upwork, and I've been using them for the last 8 years. And you don't need a business for any of this, any project, any size, planning an event, sorting out something at home, finally handling the thing on your list you keep avoiding. Upwork lets you find, hire, and pay expert freelancers all in one place. With Business Plus, you can access the top 1% of talent on Upwork, and with AI-powered shortlisting, you'll get matched to the right freelancer in under 6 hours. No endless searching required. Visit Upwork.com right now and post your job for free. That's Upwork.com to connect with top talent ready to help you and your business grow. That's UPWORK.com, Upwork.com. The second thing that's a problem to me is that AI doesn't push back in real time. So if you avoid a hard topic, an AI, it's probably going to just gently follow your lead, right? And it's not going to lovingly confront you. You know, I've said as a therapist things like, you know, like you keep circling. You keep circling this, but you're not landing on something. You know, what are you afraid to say out loud? It's hard to get AI to that place, I have to tell you, because again, it's not necessarily picking up on all those other things. Because again, a lot of that is probably visual cues or my cues from knowing you for a while, things that I'm picking up on. The other problem with AI is it really struggles, again, at this point with what we call differential diagnosis. A lot of things look alike. If you don't ask someone, for example, if they drink or do drugs, they could give you a ton of symptoms. I'm having trouble sleeping. I'm having a lot of, you know, friction with family members. You could be mentioning all these things. I lost my job, but AI doesn't know that, you know, so it might say you're depressed, because depression can look a lot like substance use disorder. They're very similar on the surface. You have to know to ask the right questions. You know, are you anxious because of past trauma? Are you anxious because of ADHD? Do you have a thyroid imbalance? Is that why you're anxious? AI doesn't yet have, again, especially the way users are using it, it doesn't yet have reliable diagnostic abilities. And mislabeling your symptoms could, you know, really send you down a very dangerous, wrong rabbit hole. Okay. I know. And that really relates to my other big worry with AI and using it. It only knows what you tell it, and you don't know everything. I say with love. And as I said in the beginning of the podcast, what do I say all the time? You're a fish who doesn't know it's wet. We all are. So most of us don't know our blind spots. So just asking AI, tell me my blind spots about this, when you're talking about a personal thing, when it doesn't have all the pieces, it can't do it. It can give you some, but they're probably not correct. And if they are, maybe it's correct some of them, but not the important ones that you have to work on. I had a client this recently came to me to work. He was working on communication in his marriage, right? And we were 6 months in, and I do a full history. And by the way, you know, even that, right? You're talking to AI all the time. You don't give it a full history. You think you give it a history you think about. There's a lot of things you might not be giving it that it needs to know to, again, make that diagnosis or to really give you a full. And you might say, well, tell me what I'm missing to give me a diagnosis. It still doesn't know everything. That's the problem. There's therapists who don't know everything. I'm not saying they do. I'm just saying we're a little better at it. If someone experienced and good at it, it's going to be better. So this client, 6 months in, he, and I did, again, did a full background, everything. 6 months in, he shared this thing about he had a coach who inappropriately touched him. I don't know how else to say that. Like, it's sexual abuse. This coach was somewhat of a predator. There was a lot of just grooming. And even though they didn't, this coach didn't like have sex with him, he touched him inappropriately, other times, like where my client said he just felt icky with this guy, even though he hadn't like touched his penis yet, right? And even after that had happened, that my client was 11 when it happened, and he, you know, reacted and was like, no, thank you. And the coach, of course, gaslit him and said, like, I was just trying to help you with your form, and, you know, did this whole thing with him, and then continued to touch him more than the client felt good about. But because it wasn't like, he wasn't raped, you know, he wasn't even like this, you know, this guy, he fondled him somewhat, his penis somewhat, right? And because it only happened, quote unquote, once, like the big one, even though the grooming was still going on, all the other stuff, the ick day to day with this coach and him being anxious all the time around this coach, that early experience shaped his entire attachment style, but he never mentioned it because he didn't think it was relevant because, quote unquote, nothing ever really happened. AI would have never asked. Never would have asked. Why would it know to ask? You didn't even know to tell. And that's the danger. Okay. And I kept picking up on something. I was like, something's not right. And things weren't working that I was asking him to do. And again, I have many decades of experience and I could just tell. I don't know what else to say. That's what I said to him. I said, I've asked this before when we first met. And you know, you first meet me, you're not necessarily going to share things, right? I said, but I'm going to ask again. I want you to really think. And I really gave all, you know, inappropriate touching of any kind, anytime you just felt uncomfortable with someone. And he said, oh yeah, there was this coach when I was 11, blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? And by the way, he did finally tell his parents, and his parents pulled him right away. They did all the right things. They were like, do you want to go to police? Do you not? Like, but again, there was nothing to really go to the police about or nothing he could really prove, but they took him away from that. They found another coach. They moved teams. They did a whole thing. The parents were amazing. So that's the other reason he thought, well, my parents really addressed it great when I said something. It went on, and again, it had gone on for like, you know, a while, like a whole season of something. He was with that coach for a whole season. He said something at the end of a season, like a soccer season or something. And that's when everything, you know, it changed for the next year. But so again, this is the stuff that gets missed a lot. Okay. So let's talk about why human therapy is still the gold standard. You know, because real therapy isn't just advice. It's not. It's relational. And there's a lot of therapy that gives no advice, okay? Like no quote unquote advice. And by the way, I think that's what a lot of people are looking for, is for someone to really give them advice and direction. I give a lot of, you know, I'm so bossy, right? You know, I do. I give a lot of advice and direction. I give homework. I send things because I do just what I do on the podcast. But a lot of therapists don't. They're, you know, the proverbial blank slate, and they, you know, well, what do you think? Well, what do you think you should do? You know, which is great. And some people do really well with that kind of therapy. Those aren't the kind of clients to come to me. It's probably not you if you're here with me now. It's probably because you know, you like someone to kind of tell you what to do. I get it. You know, with my own therapy, I've always wanted a therapist who, again, I want to know their opinion on things. I want to know their thoughts. Obviously it's a brainstorming session sometimes. And I have a few clients. I go, okay, let's just brainstorm some ideas now. We're just brainstorming. Like, I say it a lot because I want to, you know, there are people who like to sort of just follow blindly. So I want to make sure that doesn't happen with us. And I want to make sure they have ideas too. And, you know, my clients who push back, I just love. I mean, because I know we're really engaged in it. They are saying to me, I don't think that's going to work out. Well, here's what I think he's going to say if I say that, or she's going to say if I say that. Like, I love it. Like they're, you know, we're in it, you know, we're doing it together. We're really, again, brainstorming together. And I'm talking to them about their reactions, and well, they could say, you know, your partner could say whatever they want. What do you think? And how are you going to hold this boundary? And I mean, there's such rich conversations when there's that pushback, which is why, you know, with some clients, again, I make sure that I say, like, you realize, you know, this isn't just me telling you what, you know, you have to have skin in this game, right? You have to think about what a dog in the fight, you know, you have to think about how you're involved, how you're relating to this information. So real therapy, it's not just advice. It's relational therapy. We therapists, psychologists, mental health professionals, we help you notice patterns and how you relate to people in real time. So, and what I mean by that in real time, so you might say something sarcastic, okay? I'll have a client who says something sarcastic. This again happened very recently. And what I said was, is that familiar to you, what you just did? And my client said, what are you talking about? And I said, well, your sarcasm just there. And she said, was I being sarcastic? And I said, yeah. Yeah, you know, so we went back over what she said and how, and she said, oh yeah, that was really sarcastic. I said, is that when you feel vulnerable, does that usually come out? That's sort of just what happened with us right now. And we had, again, a great session. She said, oh my gosh, I think so. I didn't even realize that was sarcasm. Like I can't, you know, she said, with you, I've been called sarcastic before with my mom, and I'm always so defensive because I think my mom's just judging me, but with you, I wasn't defensive. So I really asked, and yeah, I was. And I mean, so that's what I mean, like real time. Therapists, we call that process therapy. It's the process. It's talking about the here and now, right? Is it, you know, or I'll say I have interrupted a client before who was droning on with some story. Okay. Just droning on. And I say, Hey, I'm going to interrupt you for a second. I'm going to interrupt you. What do you think I'm feeling right now or thinking right now as you're telling that story? And they're like, what? They're almost like in a trance telling the story. You know, the story you've told 100 times to people. I was like, what do you think? I said, yeah, I got to tell you, I started to get a little bored. My mind started to wander. Do you think that happens when you're talking to people? I mean, we had this great conversation. We had a great, again, do you see what I'm trying? It's such a, it's so qualitative, not quantitative, what I'm talking about. It's such a quality that I'm talking about, not an outcome. So yeah, I could give advice that's different. Like I could say to people, hey, you know, you seem to act this way when this happens, you know, you do blank when blank happens. Okay. I guess that's advice or that's feedback. I guess that's feedback, not advice, but when you're really in the moment with someone, I have to tell you, it's transformative. I hope you've had this with your own therapist, or I hope you've had it maybe with me as we're talking, you know. But when I stop and just go, how, like, even if I said to you right now, how are you feeling? How right now? Let's do it right now. How are you feeling as I'm sharing this? You might notice you're feeling defensive. You might notice you think I'm full of crap. You might notice you had an aha moment. You might notice a lot of things, right? You might notice you just love me right now because this feels so helpful. I don't know. Might be 100 things. So if I'm in that moment with that client, I'm like, when you're feeling vulnerable, does the sarcasm come up? Is this how you deflect? You know, if you think about it, what great conversations. You can't have those yet with AI in the same way. I'm just telling you. And I'm a big user of AI. And before I did this, and I use ChatGPT and I use Claude, I use a few different AI. I've tried the therapeutic AI, you know, anyway, different bots and things, because I was really trying to see if I could get, and AI will confront, quote unquote, if you tell it to, but I'm telling you, I can tell it's missing these pieces. So it can't tell if you get angry at it necessarily, unless you tell it, but you might not notice you're angry. Like this client didn't notice that she was sarcastic. So, and if you're mad at me about something I said, we explore it. I don't, you know, not shut it down. In the moment, relational dynamics are where real change happens. It's where your aha moments are. AI can't hold space like that, at least right this moment. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't get tired or triggered, which is great, right? There's, it doesn't get tired, it doesn't get triggered. I get tired, I get triggered, but it also doesn't bring that healing power of presence. So again, there's pros to it, but there's cons also. And while I'm here, let me talk, before I wrap up, I want to talk about therapeutic versus therapy, okay? Because those are two different things. You can, again, get advice from AI. You can even have amazing conversations that feel therapeutic. When I was using it for this and testing it, I've been doing this for, I wrote this episode, but I was experimenting for at least 3 months. I've been experimenting since last, February with this, seeing, you know, because people have been asking, and here I am. I wrote this up, I don't know when you're hearing this, probably in September, but I wrote this up in July of 2025. So, right? So, you know, that's a big, so February, March, April, May, June, July, a while, okay? Really trying different iterations. And I wasn't trying to prove myself right or wrong. I need to tell you, I'm at the end of my career. You know, I'm at the other side of my career. I am not at a side where I'm, you know, anti-AI because it'll ruin the field. I'm not there. I don't have skin in that game. I'm not worried about losing clients. I know there's always going to be people who don't want AI, who want a good therapist. So I'm not worried about that. I have a wait list, like I said. I am not in danger. Okay. I have my podcast. I have, you know, my books. I have a lot of ways I make money, like, that have nothing to do. I'm not in danger. So I want to be really clear in case you think I have some agenda that's another way. I really don't. But I do want people to get that there's dangers here along with the good stuff. There's definitely good stuff. I love AI. I use it often. I feel like it's really helped me be a better therapist, a better human in a lot of ways. Even if I don't use it for therapy, if I'm using it for things that help free up my time, you know, planning a vacation or something, I have more bandwidth for my clients, do you know what I mean? Or my family members or whatever. So I think it helps in a bunch of ways. So you can have conversations with AI that feel therapeutic. I have, but that doesn't mean you're getting actual therapy. I know. Therapy, I want to be clear, is a structured relational process, like I just explained. It's grounded in evidence-based models. It includes, there's assessment, there's observation over time, and again, hopefully a trained professional who understands your history, your patterns, your blind spots. AI does not do that right now. It just doesn't. It can't track your emotional shifts. It can't follow your narrative across months or confront you with loving pushback when you're avoiding the hard stuff, because it doesn't know if you're avoiding the hard stuff, because you might not know you're avoiding the hard stuff. It can only go on what you input. That's what I'm trying to say. There's so much of a revelatory process that happens in therapy. And again, AI can still be therapeutic. It can, especially when, to me, when you use it to organize your thoughts. I think it's great for that. I have clients who organize their thoughts and then come to therapy with that. I love it. I think it's really therapeutic when you explore your emotions, maybe ask it for journaling prompts or parts work, things like that. Act as an IFS therapist and talk to me about X, Y, or Z. I mean, my gosh, so great. And again, I'll help you with, I have a lot around prompting and all that in the Therapy to Go bundle. So listen to the end if you're interested in all this. If you want to just use AI for therapy, I can tell you the best way to do that. So for sure. You know, if you rehearse new ways of thinking or are responding to stress or role play in conversation, again, amazing. So therapeutic, right? But in those moments, to me, AI is more like, it's more like a reflective journal or a brainstorming partner. It can help you get unstuck, but it won't necessarily walk that healing path with you the way another human can right now, right? And so I use AI, but use it for what it does well. But again, don't mistake insight for healing. Therapy starts when someone else really sits with your pain, not just analyzes your pain. It's when you start to feel accepted by another human. I can't tell you how many, for example, men I've worked with over the years. I'm the first female they've ever trusted. I'm the first woman that they can't have a sexual agenda with. Okay, think about that. Do you know any men have only ever seen women in that light in some way? I will never, ever, ever, ever be in a relationship with a client, be that friendship or, which is sad for me sometimes because I have some amazing clients I would love to be friends with. I can't. No, it's stepping over for me. It's stepping over. I don't care if it's 2 years, 10 years. I know you can have a relationship after 2 years or 5 years, whatever it says right now in the ethics. I think it should say never. I think it's highly, highly, highly inappropriate. So to me, that's my soapbox about it. So you will never, ever, 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 did I say ever, ever, even if I was single, and I'm not, but if I was, date me or be able to have sex with me. And when you take that off the table with some people, women too, but men have said it to me. I'm sure I've had lesbians in my practice who also have it, but men have said it to me. They're like, wow. And creating that relationship with a female where they can actually trust and open up and do that, that gets that relational dynamic. We call it reparenting sometimes, or just healing, right? There may be a relationship with females or with a mother figure or with a lot of things, right? That gets, it's transference, we call it, right? When that gets transferred on something else. Again, AI can't do that yet. Okay. AI doesn't have, I don't care if you're looking at a robot, it's a different thing. Okay. It's a different thing right now. So should AI be part of your mental health toolbox? Absolutely. Again, I think it's great for self-reflection, getting prompts for journaling or self-reflection, learning, CBT style, you could put that in there, or tools or mindfulness tools, breathing tools, organizing your thoughts, like I said before therapy, practicing new ways of thinking. But AI isn't therapy. It's a supplement, not a substitute. That's how I want you to think of it. You're not a problem to be solved by a chatbot. You're a person to be seen and heard and understood. And so definitely use AI to help. But don't forget that healing happens, again, in relationship, relational, okay? All right. I think I'm going to get off that soapbox now. I hope I made my point without beating the horse to death, so to speak. So definitely come download, is it AI advice or real therapy? 10 questions to ask yourself before you ditch your therapist if you want that. And then if you want to stick around, let me tell you what the One Love Collective is getting, because I do think that if you do want to use AI, at least use it really, really well. And I've put together some resources to help you do that. Okay, so let's talk about those resources. And if you don't want to hear them, you can go now. You're done. But if you'd like to hear them, here you go. So one thing I have are some writing prompts, how to talk to AI like a therapist. So that's literally that. These are the prompts that you give that work, that will help you. Because again, I've been trying this for so long. I've really come up with some prompts that really work, that I think work well. What to do when AI, I have another resource for what to do when AI stops feeling helpful. So how to keep the conversation going. It's like a prompt, like a deepening tool to help you with your prompts to get better at them, okay? The third resource in the Therapy to Go bundle for this is a blind spot tracker, because again, you're not going to know if you have blind spots, it's not going to help you. You can't just say, what are my blind spots? It's not going to know. I know it seems that way. Blind spots work in some ways when you give it information like for work or something, it really works well. And certainly you can give it a situation with your partner and say, what are my blind spots in this? And it can give you some feedback, but I'm just telling you, it's not going to give you all of it. It's just going to be, and this should help. Another resource in this bundle, the Therapy to Go bundle for this episode, is I created like a decision matrix for getting the support you actually need. Like what to ask, what situations go to AI and what you probably need a therapist for. I have a self-talk script builder, like an AI enhanced self-talk script builder. also as part of this Therapeutico bundle. And then I did, I did a guided visualization. Of course, my fabulous melodious voice. For sometimes we feel alone, but don't want to reach out. And so I sort of did that. This is not using AI. This is just me. But I did a guided visualization for this episode around that, because I think that's sometimes too what's going on when we use AI, is that we're using it because we just don't feel like talking to somebody, like a real person, because we don't want to hear certain things. So, but how do we soothe ourselves in those moments? So I did a quick, you know, these guided visualizations are 5 to 10 minutes, somewhere in there. I think this one's about 7 minutes, just to help you in those kinds of moments. So you can download the Therapeutico bundle for $10, or you can join me on Substack in the One Love Collective for $8 a month, where you would get every episode of the podcast. You get early drops of the podcast. You get all these bundles for every single episode that comes out that month. You get live Q&As with me. You get the community where you can ask questions, even outside the live Q&As, where you get support from other community members. We have Wednesday where we share our wins. It's a really beautiful community. I'm really, really proud of what I've created online. It feels real. It feels substantial. And so again, you can tell I am not anti-computers and using those and all that. I think there's lots of ways to get support and lots of avenues to get to where we're trying to go. And AI is certainly one of them. I want you to use it well for where it is now. Okay. All right. That is it for this week. Thank you for hanging out with me. And I really love this topic. I would love to hear your thoughts about it. It's not like I think I'm the only right person about it. I think that's it. Have an amazing week. Mwah. Love you. And I'll talk to you real soon. Thank you for spending time with me today. If you're loving what you're learning here, come join my One Love Collective. It's my private community where we take these conversations even deeper. You'll get a ton of bonus content, live Q&As with me, guided visualizations, journaling prompts, scripts, and an incredible community of like-minded people ready to support you as you create more ease and joy in all your relationships. It's all waiting for you at abbymedcalf.com or right on Substack. I'll see you next week.